Today, I'm sitting down with someone who's taking empowerment to a whole new level. Darren Dawson is the founder of Common Sense Self-Defense for Women. He's a retired RCMP officer with 15 years of frontline experience. After responding to countless real-world cases of violence and abuse, Darren decided that he wanted to do more than just show up after the fact. He wanted to be part of that prevention. And I am so excited to talk to Darren today. And I will be taking his self-defense course coming up. So I know he's got some questions for me. During this podcast, you're going to learn about personal safety, but we're also going to be talking about purpose and taking a stand for something that you really believe needs to happen, which is exactly what Darren did. So welcome to the show, Darren. So happy to have you here.
Thank you. I have my first podcast, and I'm also thrilled, but nervous as hell.
Well, I will be sure to be easy on you today.
Thank you.
Okay. So let's start off with simply telling the listeners what it is. What does Common Sense Self-Defense do? And just so we can start off with that basis.
Okay. Well, as an officer of 15 years frontline experience, I was in a few busy detachments, and I found that a lot of the files that were coming in that were involved with women being abused, raped, followed, they weren't really being investigated to the best of their abilities. And I took it upon myself to take all those files, because I knew I was going to do the best job as I possibly could and give them justice. Why did I do that? It's because my mom's my role model. She's in her 90s now. I have four sisters. I have three daughters. So for me, I always thought of my sister sitting across from me doing the victim statement, or my daughters. And I made sure that I know I can't curse here. So the gentlemen, they get what they deserve, which is jail time, or that it stops. So that's pretty much why I do it, because who else is doing it? There's not many classes here in Moncton just focusing on self-defense for women. There's karate, there's jujitsu, there's Muay Thai, there's all those types of things. But that takes months and months and months of training just to learn simple techniques. It's also very demanding on your wallet. And for me, it's not about the money. It's about every person that I do, or every woman that I do teach. It's one less victim in this world, because at the end of that course, they are ready. They are more aware of their surroundings. They are more confident. And I pity these guys that go and they find one of these women that I've taught and see that they're an easy target, because these women, they're going to educate them.
That is awesome. And you're absolutely right in that I feel like this type of training for women is actually hard to come by, because I've been wanting to do this with my daughter, who is now 17, since she was like 12. And I really couldn't find anywhere locally that did it until you came along. And as you know, when we first chatted, I was so excited because I'm like, finally. And she's going to HOCO maybe next weekend, homecoming, at a university. And it couldn't be better timing for us to actually teach her and me to defend ourselves. So I love, as you know, what you do. I think it's so important. So let's talk about, like, that's a big step for you to go from being like a frontline RCMP officer to hosting classes like this. So how has that adjustment been for you?
A go-getter. When I first started in New Minas, I was averaging about 750 files a year. So I just dove right in and got as much experience as I possibly could. And then I went to a slower spot in Wolfville, but a totally different world, because now you're dealing with a bunch of gentlemen that have a lot of testosterone. They're young, and so I had a lot of files dealing with women that were being followed or abused or beaten. So I left the valley. And I went into traffic services here in Amherst, and I thought I was busy in New Minas, not even close, because traffic services was, you know, stopping 30, 35 cars a day, giving out, you know, 25 to 30 tickets a day. And you see all kinds of things that are happening there, right? Mm. So being busy, and then one day I'm driving into work, and my left side pretty much just felt like somebody had grabbed a hold of it and just like put it in a knot. So I had no idea what was going on. So I started seeing, physio and osteo, chiropractor. And they all said they had no idea. They thought it was muscular. And I finally get in to see Dr. Dumais at the pain clinic here in Moncton. And that's a shout out to him because he's a wonderful genius. Within the first 5 minutes of seeing me, he said, "You have nerve damage. You have myofascial pain all down your left side." So had to tell the RCMP, and after a few tests, strength tests that I had to do, they deemed that I was unfit for a frontline duty any longer. So I was in the Amherst detachment. I was doing files, but I was bored. I'm used to being out in the road. I didn't like sitting in the office. I was out there just seatbelts, cell phones, stunters, impaired by drug and alcohol. I love doing that stuff. So me sitting at home sucked, in the office. And then COVID hit. And I was stuck at home because I live in Riverview and I had to drive, and the border was closed between New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, if you can remember that. Yeah. So they allowed me to work from home with a laptop and a phone and the callback unit. And it's doing files like gas and goes and stuff that alleviates the pressure and the stress on the frontline staff. So we were doing, my partner and I, maybe close to 3,000 files a year. So 750 in New Minas, and now I'm up to 3,000. I was busy and I loved it because I was still contributing. I couldn't be on the front line, but I was still contributing. And then at the end, 2 years ago, 2.5, 3 years ago, they just said, "Do you want to move to Ontario and do a job?" And I was like, "No, that would be financial suicide for me to move to Ontario when I've lived in the Maritimes my whole life." So they asked me if I want to medically discharge, and I was like, "Yeah. Yeah, I do." But before I medically discharged, I had this in the back of my head. I've had this course in the back of my head for close to 15, 16 years because I'm not a big guy. And when we were in depot in Regina, and I had like 10 to 12 females in my group, what they were teaching us, a lot of the stuff didn't make sense. So we come up with different ways to deal with these people and not make sure that we're not hurt. Right? It's not a cowardly way of doing policing. It's actually a smarter, more efficient way of doing it. When I retired, the first thing I did, I started this business. That was it.
There's a book out there. It's called Big Magic by, I think, Elizabeth Gilbert. Anyways, she kind of talks about that. She talks about the idea that when an idea kind of hits you and keeps nudging and nudging and nudging, that it's your job to take that idea, or else she says, or else the idea is going to fly away and go land on somebody else, because that needs to happen. So the nudge that you had for 15 years, you finally made it happen, and quickly. It was similar to what I did. I had a nudge for probably about 4 years to do what I'm doing, and I didn't do it. And then finally, it was the right time, and it was quick when I decided to. It was like, I'm going to do it. And then I think it was the next 3 or 4 days, I had my first client just by mentioning it. So I think that that's really cool that you had that idea. So tell me a little bit about what is the experience like for, say, a woman who's going to your classes?
What's the experience? Pure confidence. Well, if you go into any other karate, it takes months for you to just learn the basics. And I'm going to go back a little bit. Every time I would do a victim statement and I'm sitting across from the female and I'm asking her the questions, what happened and all that, I could see that the damage is already done mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. That damage is done. And it's frustrating. It was frustrating to me because, yes, I can deal with this guy now or whoever it was and make sure they never do it again. But they shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. Right. And it's not them putting them in the situation, because sometimes our best well laid plans, sometimes they go to crap. Right. And you just get in the wrong place at the wrong time and something like that happens. So for me, I was frustrated. I would get, I've got to get to the point where this stops before it happens. So I would have, the onus on me after the bars got out in Wolfville to stand outside there, make sure nothing was happening there in the parking lot. I was driving around the streets where all the students would walk to make sure that, nothing was going on. If I heard somebody scream because I had my window down, my radio off, if I heard a scream or anything, I was going right to that voice, right? So I was thinking, how do I get this before it happens? Right. And I truly believe that if anybody in a woman's life, the father, their son, their brother, whoever, a male figure, or even a female figure, a mom, a sister that actually knows a little bit about self-defense, would have sat down for 5 or 10 minutes and said, this is what you do. You know, this is how you deal with it. This is where you punch. This is how you make a fist. If those basic necessities were shown to women at a young age, then we would have a lot less victims in this world.
Yeah, I think that would be such a hard thing. Even you kind of talking about the files and the victims that you've had to deal with, like, I'm getting emotional just thinking about it. So I can't imagine what that would have been like for you time and time and time after each other to be talking to people who had been so violated.
Well, I can remember one in particular. It was 5 to 5. Of course, I'm off at 5 o'clock, and my backup hadn't come in yet because he was normally late. He would get there 5 after 5, and I would just giggle. And she walked in at 5 to 5. She walked in the front door because the door still wasn't closed. It's not locked until 5 o'clock at the detachment. And she walked in and she looked at me and she goes, "He raped me." So I'm just like, "Okay, come with me." And I was supposed to be off, like I said. And those 5 minutes, I had my duty belt off. I had, you know, I was just wearing my uniform. I think it was 12 hours later, I got her interview. I went and I picked this guy up. I interviewed him for 3 or 4 hours. I made sure he was locked away in the cells in New Minas and made sure all the court package was done. And by the time I got home, it was probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 in the morning, maybe even 5 in the morning. I could have been there for like 12 hours, I think. So I wasn't going to rest until that SOB was in a jail cell and he was not going to be anywhere near her again. So that's the type of police officer I was. That's the type of guy I am now. I'm translating that into this business. I don't want it to be, give me your money, 6 hours, I'll teach you. No, I want to be accessible all the time. If somebody has a question or somebody has a situation where they walked into and they're scared, call me, text me. Let's message each other and we can walk through it just so you know what to do in the future. But the stuff that I throw at you in that 6-hour course, you're ready.
Where? Do I wear my sports clothes?
Yeah, because the first out of the first hour, I get to know you. I get to know what your fears are. I get to know what your capabilities are. I want to know what you know, right? And what do you do for a living? How does that impact you? Where are you the most vulnerable? And then I go and talk to you about what I do or what I a living, why I do this. And then it's show me some practical skills. What can you do? And then I tailor the course right after that, right? So I'm assuming that, have you ever taken a self-defense course?
No.
I don't know the answer to this.
It's a kickboxing course. But
you've taken a kickboxing? Okay.
Yeah. But I mean, it was for physical fitness. It wasn't for like self-defense.
Okay. So I'm assuming, because I ask the same questions in everyone, and I ask, and it's pretty much the same, right? And, when I ask a woman, what is your go-to if you were to ever to be attacked, right? And I think I asked you this a while ago. So what would be your go-to if, let's say, that you thought you were going to be attacked and you had to defend yourself? What would you say is your go-to? I already know it, so go ahead and say it.
Well, I'm, I don't want to tell all the predators, but I'm like a freeze. Like, there's fight, flight, freeze. Mm-hmm. I'm a freezer. Like, if I literally cannot move my body when I'm scared, I get paralyzed in fear. So I've been very fortunate not to ever been in that situation because I don't know what I would do. When a dog tried to chase me, I froze, but then my friend snapped me out of it. And I did run probably faster than I've ever ran in my life. But that's about it. Like, I have ideas of, like, kick them in the crotch or, break their nose or whatever. But I don't know that I would be able to actually do it in the moment because my body just stops.
Here's the common sense approach. What's the name of my business again? Common sense.
Common sense self-defense.
For women. So here, I'll throw this at you. In no way, shape, or form at any time of this course am I going to tell any woman that I've ever taught or in the future to kick. Okay. So if you ask yourself, if there's listeners right now going, well, that's insane. That's my biggest weapon is kicking. And usually it's, I'm going to kick them in the nether region. Right. And I'm like, Okay, so on behalf of all men for the past, you know, how many centuries, we know that's your go-to, and we've devised ways of stopping that by putting our knees together, or now we've moved to the side because we telegraphed it, and now you're hopping on one leg. Is that the spot that you want to be at? Probably not, right?
No.
No. So, and the other common sense is you are 5 foot...
Three,
and the average male is 5 foot 10. So do you really think that a 5 foot 3 lady that is, as you put it, frozen, have the ability to actually hit somebody in their nose with their palm, 5 foot 10? Do you think that's
doable? Probably not. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I get that a lot. In the first 2 hours of this course, where a lot of women go, yeah, that doesn't make sense. And what you're showing me and what you're teaching me makes a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. Because you don't have to be a superhero. I'm not going to teach you to be a superhero. You don't have to be someone that is going to have to practice this for hours and days and days and days. No, this course is 6 hours. What I'm teaching you is stuff that I've used, and all of my female counterparts in the RCMP that I train with, that's what they use as well. It's just a common sense, basic approach to stopping a threat, right? Because they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger than you are. I know what that feels like. That's why I'm sympathetic to it, because I know what it feels like to be scared, right? Every time I fought, it wasn't just for a referee or you're fighting with your sibling. You're fighting with somebody that possibly wants to kill you. So that's in the back of your head every single time a police officer fights, because if they get knocked out, that gun can be used against them, right? So that's the dose of reality when a police officer has to go hands-on with somebody. So it's the same for a woman, if you want to look at it that way, because if somebody's attacking you, yes, you know, they could kill you. Do we really want to be in that situation? What do we do?
Yeah.
I'm going to show
you. Yeah, I just think it's so important. I think it's a basic life skill.
Yes.
Probably even more important than swimming. But like I said, it was hard to find here. So hopefully maybe there's some people out there who are listening, who are in other communities, who maybe will reach out to you if they have an interest in helping with this kind of thing as well. I don't know if that's on your horizon to like have this be more than just the one center, but I think it's definitely something that's needed.
Well,
across
I've already gone
the
to
world, really.
Campobello Island. I've already been there.
Yeah.
And I've already been to PEI. So I'm willing to travel, right? I'm willing to go anywhere. But you know what the most frustrating part of this business is? And it's something that you're going to laugh at. When I was a Coca-Cola sales rep before I get into the RCMP, right? I'm an old school seller. I would, you know, for me to get accounts on Prince Edward Island, I would go and I would walk through farmers' fields to get to the owner, right? And he would just, I remember one guy, he laughed at me and he goes, whatever you want, put it in the store, right? He hadn't had a Coca-Cola in his store in like 20, 30 years. And here I am walking through, you know, 3 or 4 acres to get to him. And he's like, put it in. I don't care. So that's old school to me, like selling that way. I haven't sold anything in like 20 some odd years or advertised or marketing. It is a totally different world now. Like you have to have likes, you have to have shares, you have to be on the social media, you have to be able to catch people's eyes with, and I am terrible at that. Like, I mean, terrible. So I'm like, I get frustrated a lot because it's not, it's a different world, really.
So common though, Darren, like with anybody starting a business, you start it because you're passionate about one thing. You're not necessarily passionate about marketing, right? And so many people start and just kind of grow super slow at the beginning because they don't have the skills, like you said. People do marketing as lifelong careers. So it's almost like saying, I want to be an RCMP now without the training and just go out onto the street and do it, right? That's what a lot of small business owners are doing. They're like, okay, well, obviously I got to be a marketer now, so I'm going to watch a couple YouTube videos and off I go. And it's tough. It's tough. But I mean, there's lots of opportunities for marketing support. I know in Canada, there's tons of funding opportunities for people to get different training and stuff because it is hard. You can't really hire somebody at the infancy of a business that is a shoestring business, right? Like it's like, I'm starting, I'm not going to get capital investment, and it's hard to hire somebody to help you. But you still need to do the marketing. So a lot of the businesses that I say, it's still the same thing. It's reputation, right? Building that reputation. It's getting all of those reviews and it's being visible. And so that's kind of the first step. But I know you had done some interesting things because I had met you because you started reaching out to small businesses who had similar clientele, I guess. So let's talk about that because I thought that was a really good strategy. The problem is nobody cares about your business as much as you. And I think you probably learned that. But tell me about that strategy of like trying to find people to help you.
Okay, so at first, when you first come up with this great idea, you think everybody's going to be just as excited as you are, right? So this has been going on for centuries, women being followed, women, you know, being in toxic relationships where they're being abused and they want to get out, right? So I thought here, there's nothing around here. And I knew that there was nothing around here other than, you know, karate and jujitsu and all that stuff. So I thought when I started putting myself on social media, like on, you know, Ask Riverview or Riverview pages or Moncton pages that, you know, women would see that and go, oh my God, there's somebody out there that, you know, really wants to help. And he's going to teach us, you know, self-defense. Crickets. It was just... I think in the first 6 months I only had two clients, and the two of them, and it's no big deal about age, but one was 80 and the other one was 72.
Really?
Yes. And they want my first two clients, and they wanted it because they go on hiking trails and all that, and they just wanted to make sure that, you know, they were safe. So, and then after that it was another drought, and then I just started coming up with ideas because I was bored. Honestly, I was like, okay, I'm bored. How do I do this? So when I was a Coca-Cola sales rep, do you remember the thing that they used to have called the Coke card? No? No. So with the Coke card, you could go into stores and it used to say right on the Coke card what the deal was. So you go in and buy a Coke and then you could get that deal. So I started putting that premise, old school selling, to now, which I started going, okay, who should I partner with? Well, life starts, you know, I think, you know, learning CPR and first aid and women's self-defense, they're life skills, right? They should be together. So that's why I went to one other company, a bigger company, and I asked them if they're interested, and they didn't even reply back.
Yeah.
And then I got the owner, Crispin, to talk to me. And then all of a sudden you and I met. And then, you know, it was a good combination where now you take my course, you get 10% off CPR first aid and vice versa. And my last client, she took my course. I gave her the card and now she's going to be taking the CPR course with 10% off.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm just like, did you ever hear the buttercup cookie lady here in Riverview?
Yes, I have.
Well, she's my neighbor, which I didn't know. And she took my course, her and her daughter. So after finding out who she was and what she's all about, because I didn't hear the buttercup cookie lady. I had no idea. And I saw what she did and I thought, you know what? I'd like to do something with you, a collaboration where you make a cookie that has my logo on it and we'll give the money to charity. Right. And whoever buys a certain amount, they get 25% off of my course. So I think that went really well.
Yeah.
And it's just out of the box thinking, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I think you kind of have fallen into, this might turn into a strategy session, this podcast, but you kind of fell into what a lot of people do, which is give a sale, give a discount, and that is something I generally say, if you're a small business owner, that is like the last thing you want to do. Because that's like your ticket to like bankruptcy, right? But, and also people are not buying necessarily, unless you know for sure they're not buying because of the price tag, then it's not a pricing issue. And if anybody's bought your course at its regular price, you've already verified that your course is okay. Right? Your price is okay. So it's not a pricing issue. It's more of a messaging issue as to like emotion sells, right? And so what you need to do is figure out what is that emotional trigger that is going to trigger somebody to buy. And then in your marketing, that is the messaging that has to go out the most, right? And, you know, also visibility. visibility, visibility. So it's like sometimes you might have to invest in, instead of giving the discount, use that money that would have been discounted for ads, for, you know, stuff like this that you're doing, like podcast interviews. And that partnerships are good for the visibility. Like the one with the Buttercup that you said is fabulous for the visibility, right? As long as you gave them some kind of card with the cookie that said, this is how you, did you do that?
Yep.
So it's like a visibility play. And then once you're visible with the right message, it will fall into place. But I do like the ways you're doing it because you don't always have to do things through social media. And I think that so many businesses, especially when they're starting up, and I just had this conversation with my last podcast interviewer or interviewee, you fall into this thing where you're like, okay, well, I got to post every day on social media, and I've got to, like, you got like 200 people following you or 100 people following you. Posting every day on social media is not going to change your world unless you have some kind of viral post and you're not a marketer. So the likelihood that you're going to have some kind of like awesome viral post is slim. So I said, when that's the case, if you're not good at social media, if your posts are kind of boring and not triggering, then you just want to have your social media be sort of like another website so that if somebody searches you, they understand how to buy from you, why it's important, da 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 da, and then focus your energy on something else. Because posting and posting and posting to the same 100 people doesn't help, right?
So that's why I've been in contact with shelters, women's shelters. You don't know this yet, but I reached out to the shelter in Coverdale, shelter in St. John, and I believe they're sending a couple of workers from there. That's just one of the things I'd like to do. Have them come and they're going to take the course and then maybe they can roll that back out to the rest of their staff or even the ladies that go there. Because in PEI, I went to PEI Health and there was an addiction center where women stayed for 3 months. And that's the type of thing that I want to get into, teaching the women that have trauma, right?
Yeah.
Trying to get women to realize that this is a course that they probably need in their lives. I'm just beating my head against the wall, to be honest with you. I have to start going after the places, not going after them, but going and presenting my course to women that are in the shelters or halfway houses or places like that where there's the real trauma. And I'm hoping in the next few years that that can come to fruition, to be honest with you. I find that when I'm in a place that has a lot of trauma, that's where I really feel like I'm making the difference.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I can see them working through all that they had in the past. And now, you know, the frustration is there with them not knowing what they could have done. What, you know, what should I have done? I've never been trained. They're bigger, faster, stronger. And then I show them what to do. And then you can see that light bulb. You can see the confidence. And I just absolutely love that, honestly.
Yeah.
When almost every woman that has taken this course at the end, they always say, I feel ready.
Yeah. And that's so, like, that must make you feel so good.
It makes me feel like, what's your biggest fear, Haley? What's your biggest fear in this world?
Losing somebody I love, like my kids.
Okay.
My husband.
Okay. Well, you know, most people have fear of heights or fear of whatever, right? But
yeah.
I like that because mine's a little unusual as well, right? My fear is not being there. Okay. You know, I want to make sure that if something wrong that happens at home, I want to be here. Or if somebody really needs me, I want to be the one that's there. Mm-hmm. And I can't be everywhere all at once. I realize that as a police officer and as a human being, you can't be everywhere all at once and things are going to happen. But I think that every person that I teach, every woman that I teach, there's a little part of me there with them, right? So I am there with them because most of them say, I hear your voice in the back of my head every time I get in a dangerous situation. And then it snaps me back into what I know I'm supposed to do. So I'm pretty much alleviating my fears every class that I teach. I love that. I absolutely love that, right?
Yeah, that's super rewarding. That's so rewarding. So I think that, it's interesting to get somebody on the show who is at the beginning of kind of your entrepreneurial journey like this. And so I kind of want to take the opportunity to get you thinking about marketing in a different way. So there's two things. So first, when I would start with a client who is beginning, we talk about like, what do you want? right? So do you just want to have, you know, 3 classes a week and fill them up? Do you want to have, you know, 10 years from now, have trainers all over the place that you've trained so that, you know, this can be huge, bigger? Do you want to become a nonprofit so that you can get into some of these organizations and not have to like do it the way you're doing it? So it's like thinking about like kind of the long term and then backing it up into, okay, that's where I want to be. And if it's like, I just want this to be a lifestyle business where it's like I get 50 people a week or a month or whatever, that's fine too. But you back it up from there and then create your strategies from that point versus starting and just being like, what can I do to get more people in my class? What can I do to get more people? Like, cause then you're almost in this, like the space of lack when you're marketing, as opposed to like taking the steps to build. Right. And it's a small little shift, but that makes a big difference. And the other thing I'll say that makes a big difference is to look at marketing as it was intended to be. So marketing is literally helping the right people find what they need. That's it. And so when you don't look at it like sales or, you know, I have to hit these numbers, I have to, like, I feel pushy or I feel like, and if you feel pushy, you're probably being pushy. So it's more like, how do you help? Your job as a marketer for your business is help the right people to find you and understand what you're selling, right? And that's it. And so if you just think of it that way, it's like, okay, now how do I do that? Right. And so you have come up with some creative ways to do it, but there's other ways as well. But that's, it's almost like change it from I'm marketing to I'm helping in your own head. And I know that that's helped a lot of my clients as well. So those are my two pieces of advice.
For me, I find that since I've started this, I'm just going, the universe for me is just, it's giving me as much as I can handle. And I'm waiting for clients to come in. You know, I'm marketing, I'm advertising, I'm selling. For me, it's just, this is the plan, right? If I'm going to be extremely busy and go boom, well, that's up to the universe. I'm just here. I'm waiting. I'm trying. And if it doesn't succeed, you know, I'm not going to lose my house. I'm not going to lose my car. I'm still going to be able to feed myself and everything else. So for me, this is a passion. And I would love to be able to teach as many women as I possibly could until I die. So do I see me branching out into all these other things? No, I only live one day at a time here. And if somebody needs me, if they realize, if the universe, you know, is sending that message to somebody to take this course, like you and your daughter and the other females that are taking it in the next 2 days, then that's it. It's a message from the universe for that. It's time for you to take the course. There's a reason for it, right?
And I'm hope just not. Here.
Yeah. Well, you never.
It's kind of the course you hope you never have to use.
Yeah, right. And it's the same as CPR and first aid. It's my course and CPR first aid are the same thing, because if you don't have it and the time that you really need it, and you don't have it, it's already too late. Mm-hmm. Right. I think a course like mine and CPR first aid, that should be taught to everybody in high school. Like every grade 10, 11, 12 and up, every female should be taught self-defense, what to do when somebody's following them, if somebody is texting them or anything, lay their hands on them. I think every female should know, and it doesn't have to be specialized. It could just be basic and stuff that could be streamlined and easy to learn and fun to learn, because I take a dark subject and I make this fun. Okay. It's not all doom and gloom. You're going to have a lot of laughs. You're going to have a lot of fun. And it's scenario based training, just like they teach the RCMP. They throw you in a situation, see how you react, and then they'll guide you as to what you can do. And then they give you another chance to do it. And that's pretty much how I teach, because the best way you're going to find out is repetition. You're going to make a million and one mistakes in the course, but that's because 15 years and 15 minutes, right? So, and I'd rather you make all the mistakes with me, because you may only get one out there.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I love that you and your daughter and everybody else is taking the course this weekend. I absolutely love that. It makes me feel so happy, honestly.
Yeah, me too. Like, I'm so relieved that she is able to, I mean, obviously I don't want anything to happen to me, but she is tiny, little, beautiful girl who's out in the world now. And I don't have control over where she goes and who she's going to see as much as I used to or as much as I'd want to. And so just knowing that she is going to have some kind of ability to protect herself, like that's everything. I'm going to cry. It's everything. Because you know my biggest fear, right? Yep.
And I've taught a lot of mothers and daughters, and they're all the same thing. Anything from any age from 14 right up to 19. And I find the 19-year-olds are not as like into it as much as, you know, the younger generation is. You know, I think a lot of the 18, 19, 20-year-olds are just coming along because, you know, mom really wants them to do it, right? Sound familiar? Right. So I find like the 14, 15, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, they're really keen. They pick up on everything, but at the end of every course, every mother-daughter combo that I've had, the mom always looks at me and says, she's ready. And I see when I'm doing scenarios and there was one in PEI in particular. She was like holding on to her hair like this. I'm doing the scenario with her daughter and she wants to get involved. Like she's doing this. She has the facial tics and she's like, oh my God, I want to help. I want to help. And thank God she didn't, because the daughter just went. She aced it. She did absolutely everything correct. I got goosebumps. And I looked at the mom and she was so relieved. Like she was almost in tears. And I looked at her and I said, thank you. Thank you for not intervening. Thank you for letting her go through and have that experience, because look at her now. And the daughter was smiling. She was like, boom. You could see the confidence just go right through. I haven't had a mom yet say that she didn't feel that she was not ready. So there you go.
Yeah. So it sounds like moms might be your ideal target, but we don't know. But that's kind of what you got to think about as a business owner, is like, who is the one person that you need to talk to in all of your marketing? It's called your ideal client, right? And so it could be moms, because they have the biggest emotional trigger, which is save my child, right?
Isn't every woman aged 14 to 110, isn't that my target? Like, I wouldn't say a target, but isn't that my target audience? Because in Campobello Island, I had a couple of moms bring a couple of girls up, and I think one was wearing an I Love Pony t-shirt. And I'm looking at her going, I don't think she's ready yet, right? So, because they don't understand what I'm trying to teach. So yeah. I think that the 14 and above, like the younger generation, they catch on so fast. Like, I mean, so fast.
Your target is the person who is going to make the buying decision. They have to have an emotional need that is strong enough for them to make that decision. And so I'm just thinking, like, if I didn't have my daughter, even though I think I should learn self-defense, I don't know if I would have signed up. Right? And so that's why I'm saying, is it potentially the moms of kids between the age of 14 and 19 who, if you honed in on them with the right messaging, that you could potentially get kind of results you want? Like maybe you go to the schools and ask them to give out a flyer, right? Anyways, there's lots of opportunities. But yeah, honing in on that ideal client is the quickest way to get an uptake of. So I just want to say one more thing. When I was talking to you initially, and I think that it's important that the guests understand this, I remember you saying that you don't allow any men in the program at all. So do you want to just speak to that? Because I think that was really important as well for people to know.
What I teach is something that, you know, I was taught in Depo, and I don't see a lot of people teaching, you know, RCMP techniques or anything like that. So I've taken those and I've pretty much brought them down to where I see what you're capable of doing, like 5'3", 5'4", you know, with a 5'10" or 6-foot attacker, right? It seems like the average now has gone up. It used to be 5'10", the average male. Now it seems like everybody's 6'2", 6'3", right? So how do you, you know, deal with, you know, someone being 5'3" and going to that type of height and dealing with that type of a monster, right? So for me, I keep it to the point where it's basic, and you are going to, not basic, I shouldn't say basic, but it's easy to learn. It's going to easily be remembered when you're in a high-stress situation. And I don't want guys to know what I'm teaching, because there's something that I teach when you're on the ground. I truly believe 90% of this population in this world, they do not know how to fight. So when you watch the average two guys fighting, what do? It's the hockey fight. They grab onto each other and they start throwing haymakers and then they get on the ground and then they have no idea what to do with each other, right? They're just trying to ground and pound each other. When two women fight, now I'm not saying this is constant, but usually it has to deal with grabbing hold of each other, hairs involved, nails are involved, slapping's involved, and they get on the ground, right? So what I'm teaching you is none of that. I don't want you to be anywhere near that threat, right? That's the common sense approach. And there is a move that I do when they get you on the ground, if they overpower you, because I'm teaching you to stay the hell away from them, not be anywhere near them, but you may trip, you may fall. So in my service, I was knocked on my back 3 times, right? So I use this move successfully every time. And it's so easy to learn and so easy to use that it's going to be used when they're least expecting it. It's a surprise. So if guys know what I'm doing and I put out videos on, you know, what I'm teaching women, and all of a sudden they will put themselves in that position, right? Or they will know what's coming, block it somehow. I know how they can block it. And then you're in a world of hurt, because how else are you going to get off that ground? Because for me, that was my worst nightmare come to life. And I'm pretty sure every woman that's listening to this, when there's someone that's bigger, faster, stronger, that's on top of you and you have no training. And I love the warrior spirit, because a lot of women say, hey, I'm going to fight, I'm going to claw and I'm going to scratch. But I'm going to show you in that course that I do, that after 30 seconds to a minute, you're gassed. So if you are doing all this fighting and this guy's on top of you, he's going to wear you down. And then eventually, if you don't know what to do, he's going to do what he wants. So I'm going to teach you how to get off that ground successfully, quickly, and then you're going to take a negative and you're going to turn it into a positive, right? You're going to have a show of weakness, and then you're going to turn that into your strength without them even knowing. And I don't want to show men that. I don't want to put videos on how to do that, because I want women to be able to get off that ground successfully. And I don't want men to know how to do it.
Yeah, I just think, you know, I'm really hoping that this podcast will help to get this message out, because I just think, like I said, there's nothing more important to me than my daughter's safety.
And yours.
Right? And my son's. And yeah. But yeah. So this is, I'm grateful that I met you. And I'm very excited for the next couple of days. I'm a little nervous.
Why are you nervous, Haley? Why are you nervous?
Oh, I'm a little nervous.
That's what I wanted to know, because every woman, I always ask the question, how do you feel? And they always feel nervous and they're like anxious. And I always wonder, why do you feel nervous? Like, why do you feel nervous?
I think it's just the unknown. Like I'm not I know you're not necessarily teaching fighting. Maybe you are, but I'm not a fighter, right? Like, I've never hit anyone in my entire life, not even my sisters. Like, I just, like, I'm a lover, not a fighter. And so I just, like, the thought of, I don't know, I did do boxing and I did kickboxing. So I think I'll be okay. But it does make me, like, what are we going to do? Kind of nervous, not I don't want to do it or anything. I think it's like good nervous energy.
You'll have more aha moments than you will physicality moments, to be honest with you. This course I find is more mental than it is physical. So if there's women out there that are thinking, oh, I'm overweight, I'm too old. My first two clients were 80 and 72. Now, yes, when we're on the ground, it might take them a couple extra seconds to get off the ground, but we had a good chuckle over that. So
yeah.
Anybody can do this course, right? I'm not in perfect shape here. I'm a 52-year-old male, right? And, you know, I have nerve damage all down my left side. And, you know, I'm not in the best of shape. So I take all this into account. And for you to be nervous right now, you're nervous, yes, because you've never been shown. You've never been taught. Nobody's ever taken the time to say, here, this is how you make a fist. This is how, you know, where you punch. This is what you do in these situations. This is how you can see this coming a mile away. And that's what I do for you. I'm going to throw you into scenarios. I'm going to see how well you do. I'm going to show you where to punch. I'm going to show you how to punch. And trust me, if you don't think you can defend yourself, you're wrong. Every woman can. They just need to be shown what to do. That's it. Honestly.
That's awesome. I love that. Okay. So let's ask one more question. If you were to give any advice to a business who is thinking about starting up the same way you did, what advice would you give?
Stay true to yourself. Stay within your means. Don't get frustrated. I get frustrated a lot just because it's a different world now. It's not the same marketing and advertising and sales. If you do get frustrated, take a course in marketing or advertising or even computers, because I'm not very computer literate. So I would say stay true to yourself, keep going, don't give up, think of every outside the box. You don't have to spend 20 hours on your business. Have different interests as well. Make this part of your life, but not your whole life. Some people are going to laugh at this, but money's not everything. I don't want to have, 50 chain restaurants, or sorry, 50 chain stores or businesses. I don't want to make $1 million off this business. I find the product is good. I think I've stayed true to myself. I think that I'm making a difference, because if you're not, if you're not helping, then you're hurting, right? So I don't think I'm hurting. I think I'm helping, because I think if what I was teaching wasn't going to work, because it's worked for me, if it wasn't going to work, I wouldn't teach it, because I don't want to put you in that danger. Right? So if you're starting a new business, come up with a good idea, stay true to yourself, have a life outside of it, stop, obsessing and worrying about it so much, and just have fun with it, because I have fun with this course. And at the end, it's so rewarding. It's not about the money. It's actually something that I truly love doing. And my motto is, I want to teach as many women as I can before I die. That's my mission statement, right?
I love that. And that's what I said. Like, it's so important that you know what you're going for, right? And then you market in the way to get you to that point. So
yeah,
I love that. Great advice.
I thank you for having me on. Like I said, this was my first podcast. I was nervous at first, and thank you for, settling me down. Thank you for making this whole process as painless as possible. And I'm glad that you're doing this, because I've heard a few, and you shine a light on people that normally wouldn't get any notification or anything like that. And you listen and you let them tell their story. And I think it's fantastic, to be honest with you. So
thank you. Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I get to meet so many amazing people. So, okay. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time on Daring Dreams.
Bye-bye.